The first reading is from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21, and is found on page 1028 of the Pew Bibles, 1028, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth.
Good morning, everyone. The second reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, starting at verse 6. This is one of the songs of the servant that look forward to the promised Messiah. And this is what the Lord says. "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says. "The Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to be the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." This is what the Lord says. "In the time of my favour, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances." This is the word of the Lord. Well, before I begin, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your gift of Scripture to us. We pray that you'll open our ears, soften our hearts, and help us to hear you speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're ending our series of talks on men and women of faith. But before I begin, I want to show you some pictures. Peter, could you put the first one up, please? Okay. So it's a picture of a baby. Now, I don't want to know the name of the baby. I want someone to tell me what this baby is going to be most famous for. Can anyone do that? No? Let me give you a clue. He was born in 1930. I'm sure that helps. No? Brett. I can see you just about. Yep, Brett's hiding behind the corner. He's an American, so I'm sure you know who he is. No? You can't work out what this baby is most famous for just by looking at his picture. Okay, can we have the next picture, please, Peter? So, that was a picture of Neil Armstrong, who was the first man to walk on the moon. And given only 12 people have ever walked on the surface of the moon, I'm shocked that not one of you recognised him. Okay, I appreciate, though, that that's perhaps going back a long way in history, so I've got another baby for you to work out what this baby is going to be most famous for. Any thoughts about this one? What she did happened last year. So there are two clues there for you. What's she most famous for? All right. Sorry? Oh, Julie, you've got it. Yes, she's a footballer. So what did she do? Can we have the next picture? Her name is Chloe Kelly, and she scored the winning goal in last year's Euro 22 championships that meant England are the champions of Europe. You didn't do particularly well. Julie almost got there. It can be quite hard working out what people are going to do just by looking at pictures of them as a baby, can't it? And yet, if you cast your mind back to the story that Jenny read for us, there are two people there, Simeon and Anna, who did just that when they saw a baby presented at the temple at the time of sacrifices. So our passage began with Jesus being given the names that the angel had promised, and then Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple. And in obedience to the law of Moses, they made a sacrifice required for a firstborn son. They sacrificed two turtle doves. And turtle doves were the sacrifice made by poorer families. If you were a better off family, you should have sacrificed a lamb. Mary and Joseph, though, had to sacrifice two turtle doves. And this tells us that Jesus grew up in a not very wealthy family. And he grew up not living in a palace, which you might have expected for the Son of God, but he grew up living with just an ordinary couple. While Jesus was in the temple with Mary and Joseph, two people saw him, and even though he was a baby, they did better than you. They recognized who he was and what he was going to do. The first person that we are introduced to is a man of faith called Simeon. And we're told that he was a God-fearing man and that the Lord had made him a promise that he would live to see God's Messiah. And as soon as Simeon saw that baby, he knows that God has fulfilled that promise in that little baby. A boy only a few weeks old was the promised Messiah. And Simeon then describes Jesus as God's salvation, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and a light for the glory of God's people, Israel. Now remember, two turtle doves were sacrificed, and the second of those sacrifices, the second of those doves, is what's known as a sin offering. God's law requires a price to be paid as a penalty for sin. But what we see throughout the Old Testament is the sacrifice of birds and animals wasn't enough. These sacrifices, they had to be repeated time and time again, year after year, and also on special occasions, such as when a new baby was born. Animals and birds just could not turn away God's righteous anger against sin. So God sent a sacrifice that was going to be good enough for the sins of the whole world. He sent his own son. And Jesus lived in perfect obedience to God's law, so that his death was acceptable to God as a full and sufficient sacrifice. Jesus paid the price for all of our sins, so that when we come before God on the day of judgment, and every one of us will, if we've turned to Jesus, God will look at us and he won't see any of the sins that we've committed. All he will see is the cross of Jesus
and he will say that Jesus has paid in full the penalty for our sins. That's the salvation that Simeon saw in that young baby. It's quite a destiny that baby had ahead of him, to be the salvation of the world. But that's only part of what Simeon and Anna saw ahead for Jesus. Simeon also said that Jesus was going to be a light for the revelation, a light to the Gentiles and a revelation for his people. Now, I've got a light here. I hope it's going to work. Okay, this is a candle I stole from a Christingle orange. And light's amazing, isn't it? If we were holding this service last night, when the rain was hammering down and there were no lights on in the church, you would still be able to see this light, wouldn't you? Darkness can't scare away the light. In fact, it's quite the opposite. When you put a light on, it's the darkness that goes away. So when Simeon is saying that Jesus is going to be the light for the revelation to the Gentiles, he's saying that Jesus is going to show people things. This candle would show you my face, even if it was completely dark. And the light of Jesus is going to show the world God's face. He's going to show us what God is like. This is what Jesus said in chapter 14 of John's Gospel. Jesus said this: "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Because the disciples trusted Jesus and knew him as the Son of God, Jesus told them they also knew the Father. They had seen God. And the Bible tells us that through acknowledging Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we too know God as our Heavenly Father. We receive the free gift of his salvation. That's the light that Jesus brought into the world. But sadly, Jesus isn't good news for everyone. Although Jesus offers God's salvation to each and every person, he is the light to the whole world. He shows people the face and the character of God. Simeon also said this to Mary. He said this: "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." What Simeon meant when he said that was that not everyone in Israel was going to welcome Jesus as God's son, as God's Messiah. And scripture tells us that that came true, doesn't it? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they did not like Jesus at all. They worked with the Romans to have the Son of God crucified. Even though many people heard the astonishing teaching of Jesus, they saw him heal many people, feed thousands with just a few loaves and a couple of fish. They saw him raise people from the dead and perform many other miracles. More people turned against Jesus than followed him. And Jesus was killed on a cross. So the name of Jesus is like a sword. Mary must have wept when that sword Simeon spoke of pierced her heart when she saw her son nailed to a cross. And that sword still cuts two ways today. Many people come to know Jesus as the Son of God and their Saviour. And for them, the sword swings positively, offers salvation. But many more people, they just don't think of Jesus at all. Some people might say Jesus was a good man. Some might even agree he was the Son of God. But they're not willing to give their lives to him. And the sad thing is, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, followers of other faith, if they don't know Jesus as their Saviour, they don't have God's salvation. Jesus divides people He always has, and until he comes again, he always will. Jesus met two people in the temple. The first was Simeon, a man of faith, and the second was a woman of faith, Anna. We're not told what she said to Mary and Joseph or Jesus, but we are told she came up to them and she gave thanks to God, and she spoke to the child about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. That means Anna spoke to everyone who wanted to know about God's rescue plan. She didn't speak to just a few of them or just to some of them. She spoke to everyone who wanted to know more. And that's something that we too can learn from Anna, that we should speak to him about others. Sorry, I got that the wrong way around, didn't I? We should speak to others about him. So when someone asks, what did we do at Christmas? We can say we went to church and we heard about a baby born as the Son of God. And when someone says, well, who is the Son of God? We can tell them that he's Jesus, the Messiah, who came to take the punishment that is rightfully ours so that we can have the gift of eternal life. And so can you. So over the past few weeks, we've looked at quite a number of men and women of faith from the Bible. They all did amazing things. Some of them weren't very nice people. Some of them were very ordinary people. They lived in a time when God spoke to people through dreams, through visions, through angels. They saw God at work, and they put their faith in their God. Here's the thing. Christians today are also men and women of faith. Now, God doesn't speak to us in quite the same way. He speaks to us through Scripture. We don't see miraculous signs in the way that Samson saw them, or Gideon, or even Simeon and Anna. Simeon was promised things by God. Our faith comes from believing what we read in Scripture about who Jesus is and what he did for us. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith. So we are men and women of faith, just like all of these biblical heroes that we've been studying over the past few weeks. So take a look around you now in the church. See men and women and children of faith. We don't need to read Scripture to see heroes of faith. We can just look at each other, because we're all men and women of faith. Look around and enjoy your church family. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son, so that if we believe in him, you will give us eternal life. Help us to be bold like Anna and tell other people the good news of your salvation, that you are a light to all people. And when we have doubts or feel troubled, help us to remember that because of your love for us and our trust in you, that we too are men, women, and children of faith. Thank you, Lord. Amen.